pick up your Bibles and we're turning to Acts 1. And literally, I want to read this and make some comments about having confidence in decisions as we read through it. I spoke this morning about having confidence in prayer and our need for confidence in the Christian life to press on. And this is like point number two that I didn't get a chance to share this morning. And it just comes out of this passage here. You can imagine these disciples, they've got some big decisions to make as Jesus has now left them and they're waiting for the Spirit to come. And it says in verse 15 of Acts chapter 1, "In those days Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. It's interesting, it's not that dissimilar from this group here. Imagine that, Peter, the apostle who only recently had denied Jesus, must have taken great courage, but he stands up. And he says, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled." Such confidence in the scripture. And again, I hope that what we've been looking at tonight will have brought great confidence in the scriptures into your life. "The scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about it, this, so they called that field in their language Al-Kadama. That is the field of blood." So this situation's arisen where Judas, one of the 12, died, hung himself, and it says in Matthew 27, and obviously somehow something happened, and this field got known as a field of blood, and this situation arose where now the disciples are saying, well, you know, do we fill his place? How do we fill his place? What should we do? And they've got this decision to make, and the way they go about it, I think we could learn a whole lot from. Now, I would also say that even as we press on with reading this, some people would say, you read the rest of Acts, and they shouldn't have tried at this point to fulfill the position, because clearly the Apostle Paul was going to be the next the next guy. And I would say there's some very great Christians who think that that's the way you should read this, that actually, you know, they should have waited for the Apostle Paul. But there's others, again, like John Stott, who I just quoted, who would say, actually, no, they did exactly the right thing here. They were being led of God. They looked into his scriptures. And just because you never hear about the guy they're going to select later doesn't mean that, you know, he wasn't the one, because actually you never hear of a lot of the other apostles. So let's keep reading. And let's read with confidence that whether they made the right choice or not, God's purposes weren't thwarted. Isn't that great? Hallelujah for that. You know, whether they should have made this election or shouldn't, actually, Jesus is Lord. He's seated on the throne. If it was meant to be Paul, Paul was chosen. If it was meant to be someone else, then God used him. God's purposes aren't thwarted when we sometimes get in this paralyzed state of thinking, am I going to make the wrong choice, and we can't move forward. Now, let me also say, though God's purposes aren't messed up, our lives can be by making wrong choices. So don't go make foolish choices because Jesus is Lord. That's just stupid. Actually, our choices do have consequences, serious ones often. But yet what I love here is these guys aren't paralyzed to go into the future and make decisions. And you and I sometimes, I think, can be paralyzed. And actually what we need is confidence. And then we need to know, well, how do we move forward in these decisions? And here's what they do. For Peter said this in verse 20. He said, "It is written in the book of Psalms." He goes to the scriptures. And the first thing I want us to see as we have confidence in making decisions is go to the Bible. Let that be the place that you look for God's guidance. And he goes to the Psalms, and Psalm 69 and Psalm 109 say this: "May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership." They go to the Bible. And I'd encourage you, if you've got to make a decision in your life, go first to this book. Like we were talking about in that question and answer time, let this be your main governing rule. So if you're wanting to do something, make a decision, and you're thinking, maybe I should marry this person. They seem a really nice person. I know they're not a believer, but, you know, does that really matter? I feel I've heard from the Lord. Hey, the Bible says don't be yoked together with unbelievers. I don't think you have heard from the Lord. Come back to Scripture. Let that be your guide. That's what the That's what Peter and the apostles did. So that's a great place to start in our decision making. Next, though, it says in verse 21, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. I love Peter's thinking. He's thinking, okay, we need to choose an apostle. And an apostle needs to be someone who's walked with Jesus, who's seen the resurrection of Jesus, and that's someone who can then be a witness of Jesus, that he's alive and that he's well. And so they now use their mind, having seen that they should fulfill the place from the scriptures. They then think, okay, let's use our mind, let's engage here and start working out what that looks like. And in our decision-making process, it's a good thing to use our mind. God's given it to us for a reason. Use it. And that gives us confidence then as we move forward in decisions. So use our Bible, use our minds. And then, verse 23, they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabas, known as Justus, and Matthias. They then prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs. Two things I want us to see here. They include others. It's clear Peter standing up in front of the 120. That doesn't just say, right, we've done this now. He include others. It's a good Baptist principle. Include others in decision making. But also they pray. Talked about that this morning, didn't we? Importance of praying. Praying general things, but praying specific things. We need to do both. Specifically, they some. And their confidence in prayer is what? Their confidence is, Lord, you know all hearts, it says. Do you see that? Lord, you know everyone's heart. I love that. What a great thing to pray. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us. Show us. And in our decisions, we go to the Bible, we use our mind, we draw others in, and we pray, and then we can have confidence that God can overrule it. That is a great pattern for making decisions. That's what we try and do as a leadership, as we try and make decisions in the life of the church. It's a great, great pattern. And this last verse, I think, is also interesting and helpful. Then they cast lots, verse 26, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. And you might be asking as we read that, you're thinking, wow, lots, that's interesting. Should we be casting lots? Is this kind of like shaking dice? Is that the way we should make decisions? No. Actually, lots and this kind of thing are kind of very much principles from the Old Testament. They're not to do with chance. The Bible knows nothing of chance. Jesus is sovereign. God has ruled over all. It's not to do with chance. It's to do with a belief in the sovereignty of God that he can choose and determine what is right. But here's the thing. You don't actually see any of the epistles talking about making decisions by lot. They don't say, now, as you decide who to be an elder, you should do it by lot. As you decide who should be a deacon in Titus or Timothy, do it by lot. No, none of that. It says the scripture, pray about it, here are some criteria. That's the way these things are worded out, not by lot. And I think one of the key changes was actually Pentecost. Because if you imagine Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes, lives within his people to guide and direct them. And that same Spirit, if you're a believer, is living in with you. To guide and help us as we go through this purpose, Bible, mind, others, pray. The Spirit can then come and say, this is the way. Walk in it. And I think what I see here with this business with the lots is that God can overrule. You know, I have to say, I go with John Stott that I think it was fine what they were doing, because I know clearly from the rest of the readings in Acts, and if you've been reading through Acts, you know that God, when he wants to, could just zap things. You know, he... Ananias and Sapphira, they lied, they're deceiving the church, and God just, he said it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if they were doing wrong, those straws, whatever lots they were using, they could have been history. Just like that. Because God is sovereign, and that's what we see here. Not a chance to just throw a dice. No, God is sovereign. And so as we make decisions, the last thing I want us to say is trust and obey. God leads, trust and obey. That's a huge thing in stepping out and walking the Christian life. Pray, read the Bible, draw others in, use your mind, but then trust and obey as God's leading. And sometimes it's a scary thing making decisions, isn't it? But actually, it doesn't need to be, because Jesus is Lord. And we can trust in him and obey and step out in confidence. So don't fear. Be confident, not just to approach God in prayer, but to step forward into the future. Whatever things you're battling with or decisions you've got at work or at home, in your life at the moment, step forward with courage. Just like the apostles did there. And I think this set them up really well for that time of Pentecost, which was just about to happen, which we'll be looking at over the next few weeks, and I'm really looking forward to. So as we end, let's be bold believers. Let's be those who flee from sin, who decide for Christ, and be confident in prayer. I said this morning, come along to that Wednesday night prayer gathering. I'm believing for that hall to be just so full that we have to spill out on the streets. And I want us to end with a little clip that we had in the morning, because if you weren't here in the morning, you missed it. And it was great. It's really blessed me. And if you were here this morning, then you'll be thinking, yeah, man, I didn't get all that. There was a lot there. So let's just end with watching this little clip. Then we're going to sing a song, and boy, oh boy, really let this just touch your heart about how we're going to live for God and how we're going to walk with him. So here we go. This is this little 2.5 minutes again, and maybe even the band can come up after this. I'll be praying.
The Church of Jesus Christ is largely sleeping, like a great bedroom. And you have all the Christians in bed, and they're all sleeping. And they're saying, please, don't wake me up. I want to sleep on. And of course, when God starts to operate a revival, people cannot sleep. You can't sleep in church when the Spirit of God awakes the people. Look at the first verse of this 52nd chapter. Awake! Awake! Put on strength! Wake it up, you sleepy Christian! Awake, all that sleepeth! Arise from the dead! Christ will give you life!
Keep this in mind from an old man. There's no finality to the Christian life this side of eternity. We pray that some of us may go to our own funeral tonight and die to self and end all the failure and all the weakness.
Why should a person come to the cross? Why should a person embrace death with Christ?
Why should a person be willing to go in identification down to the cross and into the tomb and up again? I'll tell you why.
Because it's the only way that God can get glory out of a human being.
If I were to ask you tonight, you're saved. Do you say, yes, I'm saved? When? Oh, so-and-so preached, I got baptized, and are you saved? What are you saved from? Hell? Are you saved from bitterness? Are you saved from lust? Are you saved from cheating? Are you saved from lying? Are you saved from bad manners? Are you saved from rebelling against your parents? Come on, what are you saved from?
Who shall ascend the hill of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord.
And there's no room for him in the inn. He got a bit older. There was no room in his family. His family turned on him. He went to the temple. No room in the temple. The temple turned on him. And when he died, there was no room to bury him. He died outside of the city. Well, why in God's name do you expect to be accepted everywhere? How is it the world couldn't get on with the holiest man that ever lived and it can get on with you and me? Are we compromised? Are we compromised? Are we no spirit?
Lord, for some of us, we hear those words again, and still they challenge us. Lord, we're so prone to sleepiness, so prone to compromise. Lord, we want to be saved from those things. Spirit of the living God, we pray, come and descend upon us that we might have, like they had in the book of Acts, that holy awe, that reverent fear of God that caused many, many to not only turn in prayer, but to reach out boldly with the gospel. And people were just in awe of what you were doing in the church. God, give us that kind of faith, that kind of awareness of you. So come, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes, we pray. And tonight, Lord, please deal with us, Lord. Lord, I pray where there is bitterness, envy, lust, lying, greed, bad manners, disobedience from parents. God, where there are these things, may we flee from them and turn to you. May we not be compromised, Lord. Thank you for Jesus.